We come to the Eucharist for lots of reasons. One of those, I think, is because we're hungry to have an experience of Jesus. It's good to see our brothers and sisters, to have an experience of community, but without an experience of Jesus, the rest of it just eventually falls apart. Today's gospel shows Jesus striding onto the scene, the incarnate sun, the radiant light shining on the people in darkness, the one who remakes, who refashions, who teaches and heals our humanity. Let me try and show you, or better, connect you to this Jesus who strides into our lives today. In the first scene, at the very beginning of the gospel, there are three verbs that set the stage. We're told John the Baptist is handed over to prison. Jesus withdraws to Galilee, and light dawns on those in darkness. All three of those verbs are also for us. John surrenders to his calling to decrease, to be the forerunner of Jesus, not only in birth and in preaching, but also in being handed over himself and later in being killed. Jesus withdraws, so we're also called to surrender to the Lord, to his will in our lives, to let Jesus increase in us and we decrease. And then Jesus withdraws to Galilee. He needs to preach and to teach, to heal and to cast out demons. His time to be handed over comes later. He has to show us how we are to live in this world. Preaching, teaching, healing, and casting out demons. It's how we're to live in this world. There's a time to stand up and shout, and there's a time to withdraw and lay a foundation. He withdraws to Galilee. He makes a home in Capernaum. The incarnate Word makes a home among men. In Genesis, Adam and Eve were cast out of God's presence in the garden. Here, though, Jesus brings the presence of God once again to be in the midst of men and women. He's coming to reverse the curses of Adam and Eve. And when Jesus withdraws to Galilee, light dawns on the people in darkness. Again, ever since Adam and Eve, our minds and our hearts have been darkened. Jesus comes to awaken our minds and our hearts with his radiant presence. How does he awaken us to his presence? By calling us to repentance. His first words of preaching are the exact same words used by John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is at hand. But there's an essential difference. John was pointing to the coming of Jesus. Jesus shows that kingdom of God in his very person, in his radiant face, and in his luminous teaching. The word repent there means more than just realizing that I've sinned. It's more than just a moral awakening that I need to change my actions. For Christians, repent in this sense of metanoia, means that I have a whole new outlook on life. Just knowing that I should do this and avoid that doesn't necessarily make a difference in my life. Metanoiete is more than just a light bulb going on. It's a realization that I need to belong to a whole new culture of how to live my life. It's realizing that the meaning of life is not about how many fish I can catch on the Sea of Galilee. The gospel shows Jesus walking alone by the Sea of Galilee and looking. He comes with intentionality and purpose. He's looking for those who are willing to change their way of thinking, their way of doing, their way of being, and to follow him and his way and his whole culture of life. Think again of God walking in the Garden of Eden, looking for Adam and Eve. Both in the garden and by the sea, the Lord is looking for those who are lost, for those who are in darkness, for those in need of repentance. He comes here today looking for the same thing. What will he find in you when he sees into you? And remember, Jesus is light dawning on those in darkness. So when he comes to Simeon and Andrew, to James and John, he comes as light, this powerful, radiant, interior light. And it was only their acceptance of their need to repent, their need for this whole new mindset, this whole new culture that Jesus brings, that enabled them to perceive his light dawning on them. Jesus sees them, and the divine voice says, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." He doesn't say, "Let me teach you about theology. Let me pay for you to get a degree in church management." He says, "Follow after me. Watch me. Put me at the center of your vision, and you'll need nothing else." He doesn't call them to a program, but to a relationship. But he also does so much more. Listen to his words again. He says, "Come after me, and I will make you." It's a verb of making here, of creating. This is an act of creation. This is Jesus rebuilding the garden, refashioning fallen human nature to be once again in his own image and likeness. "I will make you. I will create you, fishers of men." Just as you plumb the depths of the sea with your nets, I'll make you reach the heights of heaven with your sacrifices of love, which will catch others to follow after me. The gospel says, immediately they leave everything behind and follow after him. It's a whole new culture. It's a whole new way of life. It's just not just, "Okay, I'm going to change my sinful ways. I'm going to be a whole new person. I'm going to leave everything behind." They repented. They saw his light. They heard his voice. And they followed him. And this is not the call of the apostles. That comes later in the gospel. This is simply the call of the disciples. Meaning that this is for each and every one of us. This is what we are called to. He taught them how to see their fishing career for the gospel. They're still fishers, but now for the gospel, now for human beings. Can you see your career, your life, being remade for the sake of the gospel too? We have to. We have to let Jesus say to us, "I will make you. I will create you. I will refashion you for the sake of the gospel." The gospel ends with Jesus going around all of Galilee, filling the entire region with his light and his voice, with his remaking and refashioning. There's no place on earth that he doesn't want to remake for his own. There's no person on earth He doesn't want to refashion for his own. So here's the homework for the week. First, embrace this cultural mindset of Christian repentance. That's all about forsaking a worldly way of doing business in order to be truly Christian. And second, invite him, give him permission to remake, to refashion your person, your career, your life to be for the gospel.